From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. After years of planning, a small herd of elk was relocated from Kentucky to the Jackson County forests near Black River Falls in late March of this year. Elk are native to western Wisconsin and historically could be found in much of the state, but development and loss of habitat changed that. This new effort hopes to reverse those circumstances, and the Jackson County herd is just the second reintroduced in the state, joining an elk herd that was established years ago in northern Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis discussed these latest developments with Wisconsin DNR big game specialist Kevin Wallenfang.
We've been on a roller coaster ride for the last several months, and we really have not established a herd in Jackson County yet. We have elk there. They are ready to be released, pending their final health tests that are coming up here in June. But until that all happens and we get clearance, those animals will remain in the pen. Like I said, we've been kind of riding a roller coaster. We started out absolutely perfect. Then we hit a little bit of a road bump with the loss of some elk, but we seem to be back on track now and are optimistic for the rest of the way here.
So how do you define when a herd is reestablished?
Well, the elk that we have are actually still in a pen. And, the goal is to get these animals. They are, they're wild elk. They were captured from the wild in Kentucky, free-ranging animals. And, they are still in a pen. So we don't consider that, on the landscape, of course, yet. They are pending final health tests, and, there's always something that could possibly go wrong there. And, worst-case scenario, the animals don't actually get released. So, our long-term goal for Jackson County is to have about 400 elk on the ground. So that's going to take, several years to get to that point. But we feel, confident that that can happen. It's great country there. It's a good habitat for elk. Lots of open space, lots of nice woods, and plenty to eat there. So we're optimistic, but, until we actually have a self-sustaining viable herd there in the county, that's what we look at as to a successful reintroduction effort. We're not going to know, the final outcome of this thing for quite some time. We've had elk in Clam Lake. This is the 20th anniversary of having elk up in the Clam Lake area. And we're still, we're still riding somewhat of a roller coaster up there. Population has overall increased over time. But then, you always get little setbacks. We had a pretty good one here a couple of years ago, the winter of 2013 and 14 that was so hard on wildlife around the state was very hard on the elk population. So we've had a dip in those numbers. That's kind of part of the ball game. But that herd is pretty well established. It's not going anywhere, but there's more that we can do for it to help it thrive as it was always intended to.
There were some deaths in the elk that came from Kentucky earlier this month. I know you're not the health professional, but could you talk a little bit about what happened to those elk?
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost five animals to a tick-borne disease called babesiosis. It's a fairly common disease around the country. It has been documented before, and it has been documented in Wisconsin before. So this is not, it's not something new. It has affected captive cervid animals in the state. There's one situation in particular where a game farm situation had caribou, and they lost, I'm not sure if it was all of them or most of them or what the situation was, but it is a disease that is known to Wisconsin. It was not something that we really expected to smack any of our elk the way that it did, but it was out there, and to the credit of our health staff, they had it on their radar screen right from the start, but it's a very difficult disease to diagnose. And so it ended up, they sent samples out to several different labs in other states and did finally narrow it down and pinpoint it. So it happened very quickly. And, the other confusing part of it is that it happened at a time where you would anticipate if you were going to lose animals just from stress, it all happened at about the same time. So, losing some animals is part of the whole game. It's unfortunate and disheartening when it happens, but it is common and has to be expected. So when we lost these animals, it was probably a combination of both the stress of the whole situation for the animals and then on top of it, getting this tick-borne disease.
So is the rest of the herd that's there, are they susceptible to this now?
Well, you know, it's very difficult for us to know how many of those animals have been exposed to it. You know, we have hopes that we're kind of out of the woods here because they all happened. All of the five deaths happened in a very, very short period, within about a week. And, you know, it's probably likely that some of the other animals that are there have now been exposed to it, but it's, you know, it's difficult for us to say that. So it appears that we're out of the woods, but you never know.
Are you taking precautions to protect the rest of the herd, or can't you really do that?
Yeah, our veterinary staff tells me that, you know, there's really no way to vaccine for it, but they do have a plan in place that if an animal starts to show similar symptoms, they have a plan as to how to address that with antibiotics and whatnot. We do have a sick bay as part of our pen complex so that if we get an animal that appears to have something wrong with it, we can kind of corral that animal into a different part of the pen by itself and try to treat it. So, you know, there's just not been a lot of experience out there with this, with the disease. You know, it gets tricky when you're working with wild animals. And we can't even say that this has not affected our Clam Lake herd. The problem is that you need a very fresh animal. And when an animal, you know, dies out in the wild, it gets scavenged by a variety of predators and whatnot. And it takes a while to find that carcass. And by the time you do, there's usually nothing left. So this is kind of a unique situation where we have fresh carcasses that can actually be, you know, looked at very closely.
They're in a pen in Jackson County?
Yes. The requirements of reintroducing elk to Wisconsin and importing them to Wisconsin is that they had to have a 120-day quarantine period where we would test them for a variety of diseases that are primarily aimed at preventing tuberculosis and brucellosis because of our cattle industry and our captive cervid industry in the state. So 120-day quarantine period started, I believe, February 7th or February 9th, and that will be up here in early June. So the animals will go through one more testing, round of health testing. They will get radio collars, tracking collars put on each animal before they are released out into the wild so that we can monitor them, figure out, you know, all kinds of things, birth rates and survival rates and you know, habitat preferences and all those kind of things. So there's a lot of research actually going on with this project as well.
They will be released into the wild in June if all goes well.
Correct.
What is involved with that?
Not a lot. We open the gates and we walk away. It's a very, very calm experience for the elk. The biggest key to this entire project is to reduce stress on the animals as much as you possibly can. So, you know, when the animals arrived, we didn't have 1,000 people standing around and cheering or anything like that because that all adds stress. So the release itself will be much the same way. The pens will be opened up and the elk will be able to walk out whenever it suits them. And some may come out immediately. Others may, you know, they may be in the pen for a couple of days with the doors wide open because they feel secure there. So you see a variety of different behavior when you do something like this, but we leave it up to the animals as to when they want to go.
Talk a little bit about the habitat where the elk will be and why it's good for the elk.
Well, the location of where the pen is right now is on state forest property just east of the city of Black River Falls. But there is quite a bit of county forest out there as well. So, you know, our goal is to try to have most of these animals on public property so that they can be enjoyed by everybody because there is quite a significant tourism benefit to having these animals out there. Local communities tend to see lots of people coming, wanting to view the elk and that sort of thing, hearing them bugle in the fall. So it is primarily public land. There is some private properties mixed in, but the habitat itself is really significantly different from what we have up in Clam Lake, where it's primarily a forested area. Down in Jackson County, you have sandy soils with a lot of pine and jack pine. primarily, kind of scrubby oak, puts out a lot of acorns in that country. You have a lot of open areas, grassy areas, marshlands and whatnot. You know, some of this is habitat that is very similar to what Carnard blue butterflies, for example, use in Wisconsin. So it's, you know, central forest habitat that we think is going to be very, very good for elk.
Are you concerned about the public and the elk coming in contact?
Let's keep in mind, for starters, that the reason elk are being put out there is for the public. There's a lot of support behind this. We have actually done surveys and polls and whatnot out there ourselves. And, you know, we tend to see 85 to 90% public acceptance of what is happening here. So the public would like to see it happen for all the reasons that I mentioned earlier. But, you know, with any kind of wildlife out there, there's always the possibility that an animal is going to get into some sort of trouble, whether that be in crops or hit on the highway or whatever. Long before the elk ever arrived there, in fact, years and years ago, the whole situation was really assessed around the state, and there were pockets that were felt to be best areas to put elk, and the Jackson County Forest area was one of those. You know, elk in the eastern part of the United States tend to not wander very far. So unlike their western cousins where, you know, they'll make a 20 or 30 mile move overnight, we don't find that. And all of the eastern states pretty much find the same thing, that when you put these animals in a location, for the most part, they tend to stay there. So, for example, up in Clam Lake, most of the animals are still within, you know, 4, 5, 6 miles of where they were originally released in Clam Lake. So we don't expect that they're going to go real far. You know, you do get exceptions to that, and you'll have one that suddenly decides to go cross-country. But so if they stay, for the most part, out in the area where they're being released, we think that our, you know, any kind of potential problems are going to be held to a minimum.
What is an elk's diet like, and what kind of damage do you expect them to do to agriculture? And will farmers be reimbursed for those losses?
You know, elk will eat any kind of a crop out there, so they will take advantage of corn fields and alfalfa fields and things like that if the opportunity is there. But again, like I said, that was all looked at prior to putting these animals out there to try to minimize that risk of that happening. So again, if they stay put where we are hoping that they where they are being released, those problems will be very much minimized. But Wisconsin does have a program already in place that covers elk damage. So if elk were to get into a cranberry bog situation or something like that, we do have the ability already in place to reimburse a farmer for that damage. We have the ability to go in and trap and move that animal if we need to, or, you know, whatever the situation may be, we have the ability to eliminate the problem itself. So, again, you know, we're trying to minimize that risk right from the start. Many of the cranberry growers, for example, are already enrolled in some way in the wildlife damage program because they have used abatement tactics to keep deer out of their bogs. So many of those bogs are already fenced, and that fence will also be effective on elk. You know, there's always the possibility, again, that one may get hit by a car or something like that. That has happened also up in the Clam Lake area. Luckily, we have not had anybody hurt, but, you know, it is a possibility.
The elk come from an agreement with the state of Kentucky. Could you talk a little bit about that agreement and what is involved with that?
Yeah, we have an agreement with them that we will be allowed to capture and relocate up to 50 animals each year for up to as many as 5 years. So we have a 3 to 5 year agreement. You know, we were hoping that we could go down there and catch 50 elk each year and get it done as quickly as possible. But as we learned this year, conditions didn't allow that to happen. We didn't end up with 50. So, but we have this agreement in place. We can take 50 per year, and in exchange for those elk, we are working with them on some grouse habitat projects that they have in their state. Just like we would like to see our elk population increase, they would like to see grouse numbers come back in their state. So we're working with them on that. But, you know, this first year, we just had such a great relationship going into this. We had a couple of different capture teams from Wisconsin go down to Kentucky and work side by side with their staff. You know, they've done this for a few years now for other states. and successfully reintroduced elk to Virginia and Missouri most recently. So we were working side by side with them, living with them, eating with them, spending 24 hours a day with them on this combined capture effort. And for the most part, things went extremely well down there. We didn't have anybody get hurt or anything like that, and those were really that was our top priority. But, they're providing staff to the effort. We're providing staff to the effort. So, there's a lot of little pieces to that overall agreement. But basically what it comes right down to is elk for grouse.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We are talking about the reestablishment of elk in Jackson County, something that happened in late March and has been a long time in coming. Our guest is Wisconsin DNR big game specialist Kevin Wallenfang. Kevin, it's probably important to note that before there were a lot of people in Wisconsin, there were a lot of elk, weren't there?
Yeah, elk were common here. We have either written records or bone fragment and antler records in at least 50 of Wisconsin's 72 counties. So elk were common here. They were, primarily a plains animal. But lots of situations around the state where we had them, primarily in the southern and western part of the state.
Now, what became of the elk? Why did they disappear?
Yeah, like so many critters out there, as people moved in and started to settle the area, there was unregulated hunting. So they saw elk and deer and buffalo and other critters in Wisconsin as a food source. A lot of it really comes down to the loss of habitat as agriculture got more predominant around the state. More of that beautiful prairie got plowed under to plant crops. So goes the habitat, so goes the animals. So elk disappeared from Wisconsin by the late 1800s.
How common are they in the U.S. today?
I believe that more than half the states in the country have elk. Many of the western states have tens of thousands of elk, very high numbers of them. And there's been a significant number of states in the eastern half of the United States that have successfully reintroduced elk. So along with Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, certainly Kentucky has been the biggest success story there probably. So quite a few states actually have elk, and several more looking to do the same.
You just started this effort in Jackson County, but what is the ultimate goal for that herd, and how long could it take to realize that goal?
In Jackson County, our overall goal is about 400 animals. How long it takes to get there, I could not say.
It sounds like it might take a while, though.
It very well may, but, if the conditions are different there, as we are hoping that they will be, we are hoping that we see fewer losses to predators, fewer losses to car accidents, things like that that have happened up in the Clam Lake area. I mean, we've had some strange situations, actually, in Clam Lake. We had a whole herd of them once fall through the Chippewa River, and four or five of them died. You get freak accidents like that can set back your herd growth a bit. But we're hoping it happens quite a bit quicker, and one of the keys to that is that we're starting with more animals. If we had started that population with 150, we would be at our overall goal of 1,400 by now based on the type of growth rates that we've seen for that population. So, we're trying to start the Jackson County herd with 75 animals. It took, 7 or 8 years to get to 75 in Jackson County. It may have even been more than that. So putting more animals out there from the start is our goal, and hopefully it'll make it happen quicker.
You've mentioned tracking a couple of times. What does that involve, and what are you looking for, I guess, as you track them?
Well, it involves putting a radio collar on each animal. So they're going to wear a collar around their neck that actually sends out a signal. Twice a day, it sends us a location. So it's a GPS collar, and it just sends a location to a computer twice a day. And that's just kind of general monitoring that we do to look at where they're spending their time, how close they are to situations, as you mentioned earlier, that might get them into trouble. But more importantly, what kind of habitats they're using. We also have requirements with the Department of Agriculture to track these animals for 5 years after they are released for disease monitoring purposes. So there's a little bit of that involved as well. But by following these animals, you learn where they're giving birth, you're able to track the animal and actually go in and find the calf. So you can make determinations as to, you know, where they're, what kind of habitat they prefer to have that calf in, how healthy the calf itself is, whether that calf survives or not. All of that information helps us build population models to continue to know, you know, so we will need to know when we do get to that 400 animals out there. Those kind of things are important to monitor when you're trying to determine if there should be a hunting season or not. So you learn an awful lot by following these animals around, and we'll do that. It'll be quite simple, twice a day. Like I said, twice a day we're going to get a location on them.
And will there be routine health checkups?
Well, we don't go and round the animals up and check them, but when an animal dies, we get as much information from that as we possibly can. So, you know, if an animal is out on the landscape and doing well, we assume that it's healthy. But when an animal dies, you know, every animal in Wisconsin gets tested for chronic wasting disease, and they, you know, they get a full necropsy to try to determine what they died from, what kind of condition they were in when they died, whatnot.
You mentioned hunting. I assume we're a long way from that in Wisconsin. But if you eventually reach your goals with these herds, are we going to be talking about an elk hunting season?
Yeah, elk hunting is one of those recreational opportunities that is included in the management plans for both areas. We currently have set numbers in place as to when a hunt could take place. That number in Clam Lake is 200, and we were actually very, very close a couple of years ago, but like I said, we got hit with that tough winter, and it knocked our population back, so it may be a few years before we get back to that level. But the current numbers are 200 in Clam Lake and 150 in Jackson County. Now, whether those hunts actually begin when those animals hit 200 or 150, you know, that's something that we review annually. And again, that's why those population estimates and monitoring those animals and coming up with population modeling techniques is so important to what we do.
What does this program cost annually for both the taxpayer and also from donations from local programs?
Well, there's multiple levels to that question. So for the most part, the everyday taxpayer doesn't pay anything into this because it's paid for primarily through money that comes through hunting and fishing licenses and grants and things like that from the sale of hunting and, you know, bullets and guns and things like that. The project that we are taking on right now to reintroduce the animals, we've got a price tag on of about $600,000, and that money is coming all from private funding sources. So we've got the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation out there, the Jackson County Wildlife Fund I had already mentioned, the Ho-Chunk Nation there in Black River Falls has been a big part of this. We have also received money from, you know, other sources. The Chippewa tribes annually put money into it through tribal gaming funds. So overall, the general elk program itself is about a $200,000 a year program, and those costs are probably going to go up a bit now that we've got another herd in Jackson County.
Kevin Wallenfang, he's a big game specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, speaking with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about plans underway to reestablish an elk herd in Jackson County here in western Wisconsin. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to the DNR's elk reintroduction website. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Maureen McCollum, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. Our website also includes links to other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff, that and more, at wpr.org/newsmakers. And a reminder that you can learn more and like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.